Hello, my wonderful friend. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is Nick Krita, your host, and I'm very happy to be with you today. Thank you for tuning in. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be together today, and I have with me right here in the studio our co-host for today, and that's Scott Heitman. Scott, it's good to have you with us.
It's lovely to be back.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Scott. And for those of you, my dear friends, who are tuning in for the first time, maybe Nick Krita and Scott Heitman are your hosts today. And we are going to talk about, is the Bible in the post-biblical age still relevant? And if you have a question, a thought, something to contribute to this program, I'm inviting you to come along with us, and you can send a text message to 04-888-808-11. The number again is 04-888-808-11. One of the questions we posed was, what is the big picture? And then we learned also that having a biblical worldview, how does it transform our perspective? Also, we ask another question: can the Bible be trusted? What does archaeology and prophecy say about that? And I think it's important to look not only in the Bible, but to see how history and archaeology supports the themes of the Bible. Mm. And can the Bible be trusted? I think that's a very common question. You know, I mean, lots of people will ask this, and some may have concerns because maybe they don't search deep to see what the Bible has to say, and they will be confused maybe. But yeah, can the Bible be trusted? What did Jesus and the apostles say also about the Bible? But not only, even historians, and all these topics, they were discussed in at length during the week. And if you miss some of these programs, my dear friend, it's always good to go back to our website, faithfm.com.au, or even better, our Faith FM app. It's Faith FM Australia. If you haven't got that one, you need to download it, because that will make your life so easy. Even if you drive around and you may find out that the signal is a little bit scratchy, you know, you can always jump on the app and it will be crystal clear there. You just need to have internet connection. And these days, yeah, I think that's most of us will have plenty of internet on our devices. But again, as I said a bit earlier, myself here and Scott, today we are going to look into this a bit further, because we are going to ask a question: is the biblical worldview still relevant in the early third millennium? Mm. And I think that's an important question to ask about the relevance of the Bible. And even the topics of the Bible, people try to apply it in different ways. I mean, is the Bible still relevant today? We'll come to that just a little bit later. But right now, what I would like to just bring to your attention, few events going on, a little bit of news under this segment, World Watch. And I came across this event coming up here in Australia. I'm not sure if you heard about this man, Neville Westwood. I'm not sure if you heard about him. What about Greg Davis? These guys, accidentally, they were the first people to tour around Australia in a motor vehicle.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely right. Let's learn just a little bit about these two guys. After becoming an Adventist in 1921, at the age of 18, Neville Westwood enrolled in a missionary course at Darling Grange, a school which today is called Carmel Adventist College. It is here where he met Greg Davis. Neville responded to a call for missionaries to travel through the northwest of Western Australia to sell books explaining the prophecies of the Bible. Maybe thinking the same thing, is the Bible relevant today? And he wanted to share the good news, the Bible, at that time. It was entitled Our Day in the Light of Prophecy. He also had a keen interest in automobiles and possessed exceptional mechanical skills, which served him during his journey. There he made some fascinating experiences and learned a lot about fellow Australians during the journey. The Citroën 5CV, called Bubsy, Neville bought this car a second hand in Perth. He named the little car Bubsy and left Perth with his friend Greg Davis in the Citroën on the 4th of August 1925 on his trip around Australia. Never dreamed that he will become the first person to travel all around Australia in a motor vehicle. That was not his intention, probably at that time. See, his original trip, a planned journey, will come to our attention. I will bring it to your attention soon because they want to do a 100-year celebration. Try to make all around Australia traveling with that model of that car around, and they will come also in Adelaide somewhere in May. But I will come with those details a little bit later. You haven't heard about this, Scott?
This is the first I've heard. Most interesting.
Wow. Well, that's a very interesting one because, as I said, a fellow young man, 18 years old, you know, maybe I don't know what time they were entitled to have a driver license at that time. But this young man traveled all around Australia, and it's an amazing story how he was able, him and his friend, to go through the rough outback of Australia, you know.
And he did so to sell literature, is that right?
That's exactly right. That was his purpose, to go from Perth, Western Australia.
Christian literature, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
And we can learn a little bit more about these two young fellows as they travel around. And I will bring to your attention a little bit later some of the dates, if you are interested to maybe come along to those places where they will stop in their journey around Australia. But right now, just a bit of recognition to some of our sponsors to this program, and we'll come back to our program in a moment.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Hi, my name is Pastor Matt Hunter from the Birdwood Adventist Church. This year, we are starting an exciting new initiative. On February the 8th and the second Saturday of each month, at 12 noon, we'll be having a free community lunch at the Birdwood Institute building, which is located at 44 Shannon Street in Birdwood. This will be followed at 1 p.m. by a presentation on topics of how Christianity relates to our world today. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask your questions of the presenter. The program will finish by 2:30 p.m. The first presentation is being presented by myself, Pastor Matt Hunter, and is titled, Is the Bible a Reliable Historical Document? We would love to invite you to come and join us for this exciting program.
And it's great to have Matt Hunter doing this program in the hills, in the beautiful hills of Adelaide. And if you are around that area, or if you want to travel for a bit of a drive in the hills, join these programs because you'll be blessed. Well, Scott, let's dig a little bit into our question, which we have for today. Is the biblical worldview still relevant in the early third millennium?
Yeah, it's a great question, isn't it? The, you know, I think we could say that today the world is, you know, it's spiraling out of control. I find that interesting. You know, I've often gone around from house to house, knocking on doors, and just speaking with people, and some years ago, I used to do this survey, and it was interesting. You'd often get a mixed response. You know, when I would ask people, and I would say to people, you know, do you think that it's fair to say that the state of society seems to be on sort of some sort of a decline? And, you know, often there would be sort of some people that would say yes and some people would say no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, in fact, my experience of late has been more and more people are seeing that something is just not the same in the world. You know, things are rapidly changing in the world. The world seems to be spiraling out of control. And I guess the question that I would ask is, does the Bible still hold answers to what's happening in the world? You know, as we look around us, does the Bible give us some answers to what's happening, as to why things are happening? And even, does it give us some hope as to where to look and to what sort of, where we go from here?
Mm.
There's certainly I would say that we're living in a time of a deep-seated human crisis. I think as human beings, the Bible's really clear, and so the question, of course, being asked is the biblical worldview still relevant today? Well, I would say that first of all, we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, well, who are we, right? Who are we as human beings? Like, I mean, if we as human beings are nothing more than just, you know, biological animals, something, you know, an animal that is driven by instinct, you know, that survival of the fittest, self-preservation is the only, you know, the cause behind the things that we do. That's kind of one way that a lot of people see the world. But then on the flip side, you've got this question of, you know, the biblical narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible teaches us that we're made in the image of God, a God who is at his very core a relational and a loving being. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It's in Genesis, right there in the very beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And as we read this passage, it's really clear that we as human beings, it says that we are made in the image of God. What do you think that means when the Bible says that we're made in the image of God? What do you sort of do you think we're made to look like God?
That's a very, very interesting question, Scott. And I believe many people would have asked the same question. Mm. You know, what that means to be the image of God. You know, that's you know, you may need a bit of more time to look into the Bible and understand that. But when we hear even from Jesus, how he invited us to be like him. In which way? I think he was talking about the character. Mm. He was talking about the way of thinking and all those aspects, you know, because, yeah, I mean, we cannot all be like Jesus in physically, for example, you know, like we all look different. Even though he became like one of us, a human being, you know. That could be taken like that in his image. I mean, interesting enough that God called himself also in a plural aspect, you know, Elohim, you know, like which is like us. And when he instituted, you know, the first institution, which was actually family, that was the first institution, you know. And he said that he made Adam male and female. Yeah. That's very interesting. People can pick up here and go tangentially on one direction or the other. But what that means when the Bible says that God created him male and female? Because if you read later on, you understand actually what that means, because then when Eve was taken out of him, but actually he had the two chromosomes there. Mm. And you see, I'm trying to say here, because that's a question which can take us into various ideologies. And I believe, again, the reason I gave that example is because the Bible actually clarifies that thing, doesn't let you in the darkness and explain what that means.
And
exactly,
I love
the question you put.
And I love, you jump forward just a few chapters, you get to chapter 5, and you get introduced to this character, Seth, which was one of the children of Adam, right? And it's interesting because you know the story, right? Adam has Cain and Abel, and we would say that Abel was somewhat like his father and somewhat like God in the way that his character was and his nature. But then you had Cain, who had fallen away from the nature of God. He had fallen away from that loving, other-centered, self-sacrificing nature, and in fact turned on his own brother. And then, of course, we know the story. Cain takes the life of Abel. But then it introduces Seth, and it says in chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that, this is chapter 5 and verse 1, in the day that God made man, in the likeness of God made he him.
Mm.
Right? And then it goes on and it says that Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. And we know that Seth was actually the father of the descendants of Adam that became the followers of God. So it's like Seth is the son that was made in the image of Adam, and Adam was made in the image of God, meaning that Seth continued to carry on the character of God in the human lineage.
Right. Yes.
So we see there that it's not so much referring to the physical attributes, but more the character.
Yes.
That was there seen inside of Seth. And of course, the character that Adam had, which ultimately what the Bible is saying then, that we are biologically engineered, if you will, to love. Because the Bible says that God is love.
Mm.
It doesn't say that God is loving. It doesn't say that God loves. It says that God is love, a total statement about the very essence of who God is.
Yes.
And the reason that this is really important in the light of this question is the biblical worldview still relevant today is because as we look at the world and the way that the world is spiraling out of control, this is the very thing that is under attack. It is the character of God in the individual, in each one of us, that has been attacked for centuries, for hundreds and hundreds of years, even thousands of years, that the enemy of the soul is trying to distort, to trying to twist, to trying to take us away from the very essence of who we are. So then when we ask the question, is the biblical worldview still relevant today? Well, if we are indeed made in the image of God, then the biblical worldview is the only thing that is relevant today.
That's very interesting what you said here, Scott, because you see, that's why probably so many people, they distance themselves from God because they look at people and maybe people don't reflect as much.
So true.
That, you know, the character of God.
Mm.
And then they will say, where is God?
But this is the fascinating thing. By the very fact that we question, you know, when bad things happen, the fact that we question and we say, but hang on for a second, something is not right. It's like ingrained deep within us is a longing for something more. We know that there is meant to be a better day. We know that the world is meant to be better than what it is.
Mm.
And the only reason that we have that desire for something more, you know, if we were nothing more than animals just going through life, a biological accident, if you will, we wouldn't have that longing for justice, that longing for righteousness, that longing for something more. We wouldn't look at other people and think, well, why are they like that? Why is that person so evil? It's a terrible thing. But yet within every human heart is a longing for something more.
True.
And there, you know, in that we can understand that the Bible is indeed, you know, I think it's one of the evidences for the reality of, for the truths of the scripture, that we are indeed made in the image of God, that we're not just a biological accident.
That's true.
So let's sort of have a look at just some of the things that the Bible reveals to us about the very essence of who we are, right? Some of the, you know, some of the things that we can take from scripture, the principles that we can learn, the things that the Bible teaches us. The things that we can pick up from a biblical worldview, in contrast to the ever-changing landscape of morality and righteousness and all of those things today.
And just as you go on that, Scott, I will ask our listener to partnership with us today. You may have a question, or I'm asking, what's your view in regard of this? What's send us a text message. Is the biblical worldview still relevant in the third millennium for yourself? let us know. We'd love to hear from you, and send your text message to 04-888-808-11, and we'll be very happy to share.
So if the Bible is indeed the absolute of truth, right, if it is the essence of what truth is, you know, we live in a world today where it seems like truth is forever changing, right? It's like what used to be considered as right yesterday is no longer considered as right today.
Mm.
And if you were to say that, you know, something is the way that something should be today, you could almost guarantee that in 5 years' time, we're going to go back on that and we're going to have a total different idea of what is right and what is wrong.
Mm.
It's like, you know, right and wrong has become completely subjective. There is no absolute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the way that you feel, the way that you think is what determines that which is right and that which is wrong.
And then we may pose a question here. I'm sure you'll take us through that, but just pose it here. Then is there such absolute truth?
And of course, this is, I remember we actually, we spoke a little bit about this the other day. We spoke of this concept of, you know, is truth absolute?
Mm.
And, you know, we're talking about, for an example, a bird, you know, and you see a bird and we're outside and we see a bird and it comes and lands on the branch of a tree and we're both looking at the bird and you see the bird and I see the bird. And when I look at the bird, I see, wow, look, there is a, look at the beautiful blue in the color of that bird. And then you look up at the bird and you say, blue? Nah, that's not blue. That's purple.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, we've both looked at the same bird, but we've both seen something different. But the question remains, is the bird an absolute color? Does the bird definitely have a particular color?
Yeah, and what did we say? Because I remember we talked about this. What about if you have a view of that bird from whatever, from above, you know, both of us will look at that bird in the fullness of her, you know, body color and everything like that, then both of us will agree, yes, that bird actually is not only green and blue, but it's red and yellow. And because we need to bring that, and this is the thing, if we have differences, if we understand things differently, that's normal, it's humanly, you know, but we have a benchmark.
Yeah.
Where we should test our views if those views are truthful.
Absolutely. And what is that benchmark? Well, I think that benchmark is found in that opening verse that we read there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The benchmark of truth is that at the very essence of who we are, we are not just some biological accident. We are not, you know, the reality of life as we know it is not something that is changed and dictated by our surroundings, right? Evolving from one to the next by, you know, the ever-changing landscape around us. But in fact, our identity is found in the very essence of God, in the very realities of the eternal God. And the Bible says that God does not change, that he is the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore.
Yes.
So if we are made in the image of God, and if God is the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore, then it stands to reason that, you know, truth as we know it should be the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore.
Mm.
Right? That, you know, what we understand about things like love. I mean, this is a fascinating one. And let's sort of just go through and think about, you know, some of these different, I guess, you know, concepts or constructs, if you will, of what we see in the world today. Because, you know, one thing is to me really, really clear. Never before has communication been so distant, so disconnected, so disingenuous, right? I believe at the core of this questioning that we have within our hearts of what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false is just this breakdown that we see within society. Rarely has the world been filled with so much strife and war and bloodshed and bitterness. And, you know, think of the hatred that exists between those who disagree with us. You know, you see today in today's world, there's that you've often, the world is so polarized. You know, I mean, I've found it interesting watching the things that have happened over the last several years. You go back to COVID and watch the way that the world was so divided into two groups. You look at America ever since, and you look in American politics. Never before has America been such a divided nation.
Yeah.
Where you've got these two camps. You look at the greed and the prevailing immorality that's around the world.
And interesting what you say that, because it came in my mind straight away, the civil war in the United States, you know. And yeah, you may say, okay, yeah, there was some differences there. But when you look now into the fundamental beliefs, you know, of the foundation of America, for example, and the way even Mr. Trump speaks right now, I haven't heard, I mean, in my lifetime, I haven't heard any presidents of the United States to speak in that way. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And then, you know, going beyond the division within, you know, society, you've got, you know, this sense of greed that's prevalent through our society today. You know, immorality and the rise of immorality. You've got the, the willful destruction of the earth would be another one. This sense of self-entitlement, you know, I think it's a huge one today, where there's this sense of self-entitlement. But yet all of these different challenges, the problems that we see within society today, the Bible actually has answers for us. And I want us to look at some of those answers today.
Yeah. And you're saying here, Scott, that trust, it's eroded.
Trust has eroded, absolutely. Yes. It has,
And society is fractured.
Yep. It's fascinating, right? Because if we are indeed made in the image of God, and, you know, therefore we are biologically engineered to love, at the very core of who we are designed for relationship. Because that's what love is. Love is a relational experience between two parties, right?
Right.
So if at the very core of who we are designed for relationship, and what we see from Scripture is that this relational integrity has been broken down. As we look at the world around us, the relational integrity of throughout humanity has been broken down, so that we're now at a place where, and it's interesting, if you go and you look at any relationship, in any relationship, when there's a breakdown in a relationship, what's the first thing that breaks down? It's often communication, right? Communication. When communication breaks down, then relationships break down. Are we living in a world today where communication is fractured?
Absolutely.
Right. And we've got this thing called social media, which is like it's in many cases become the primary form of communication, but yet it's not even really communication.
True.
Right. It's attacking the very essence of who we are. You think of the beyond communication, the next fundamental building block in any relationship is trust. Are we living in a world where trust is at an all-time low? Absolutely we are, right? People don't know what to believe. I mean, what, you're talking about Mr. Trump before, President Donald Trump. One of the statements that I've heard him say that you know, is something we've all heard, I'm sure, is the fake news, you know? And in some ways, unfortunately, I've got to say it's true. You don't know what you can believe anymore. You turn on the TV, you don't know whether the things that you're being told are actually in fact true. So we're left in a world where trust and communication have fallen apart, where relational integrity has fallen apart. But the Bible has a response to that problem. The Bible has the antidote, if you will. And I want us to look at a few of those verses. One of them is this call to love peace. And we see that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, where the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the sons of God. You know, it's interesting, going back to the story of Adam before that we were reading about, and we read how Seth was the son of Adam and Adam was the son of God. And if we are peacemakers, then we are indeed sons of God. That we are capturing, because God himself is a peacemaker. God come to give peace to humanity through the life and the death of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. You know, we live in a world today that is so fractured, where peace, in fact, one of the promises of Trump's presidency, one of the things that I think helped him get into power, was his promise for peace, that he's going to bring an end to all of the war and the calamities and the things that are taking place in the world. Everyone should long for peace. We should hunger and desire to see peace in the world around us. Another one is, and you know, following on with the Sermon on the Mount, is where, you know, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy."
And that's a wonderful promise again. And as we look actually into these passages of the Bible, and particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, you learn those beautiful blessings, you know, how God invited us to be like Him, to live like Him, you know, to reflect His kingdom, to reflect His character, you know, because it's true actually, even the Bible says that a kingdom, it looked like, in the Old Testament, it says that when a king was a good king, the whole nation of Israel was a good nation, you know. The kingdom looked good, looked better, you know. When you have a crook, you're a bad king, then the nation itself
will decline.
And God is inviting us to be like Him. Yes. Take us further.
So this next concept of being merciful, what does it mean to be merciful? Merciful is you could rephrase that, and you could say, "Blessed are those who are forgiving, for they will receive forgiveness." Would be another way that you could interchange that word there, mercy and forgiveness. And one of the things that we see in the world today is that there is so much bitterness within the hearts of men. Are we willing to forgive one another?
Good question.
And how many people go through life? I've sat down and, you know, had Bible studies with people and, you know, journeyed with people through, you know, going on a spiritual journey with them, and just witnessing people who are really struggling with this concept of forgiveness. When they hold bitterness, you know, somebody's wronged them through their life. I remember this one particular lady, and she just had this real bitterness in her face. You know, she just always looked really like her face was screwed up. You know, you could just see that she was just rough. She was holding on to something. And we had actually been studying for some time, and one day she just poured it all out, and she told me of this broken relationship that she had with her son. And she was carrying this real bitterness, this hatred towards her son. And I found it really interesting just to, you know, as we went through, continued to journey together, and we prayed through this together, and I took her on a journey of understanding the importance of forgiveness, and just watching the way that her face softened as she, you know, finally began to let go and to experience this feeling of forgiveness. We live in a world today where people do us wrong, you know. There's so much brokenness in the world today. Trust is at an all-time low. Communication is breaking down. People do intentionally and unintentionally do things wrong. And the challenge for us is, are we willing to forgive?
Yeah.
Are we willing to be merciful and show grace and forgiveness as God has shown it to us?
Yes.
And by going through life experiencing that, you know, I love how it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." You'll be blessed by being merciful.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, because you'll receive mercy.
Yeah.
As in, God will forgive you for the things that you have done.
Yeah.
But also because you unload that burden.
Yeah.
Of bitterness, that load that we can carry.
I mean, to be merciful, to be a good person in all aspects of life is not a waste of time.
Absolutely.
It gives
you peace in your heart.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah. So many people, they think because we carry this sort of revenge, you know.
And we're almost told that you need to experience that, right? Like if someone does something wrong, you need to get justice.
Yes.
You must, you know, get your revenge.
Yeah.
And there's almost this idea, and in fact, not almost, but there is this idea in the world that, well, if someone does something wrong by me, I must go and seek revenge on them for that thing wrong.
Yeah, but you can sort out big issues, big problems with a different approach.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's a very good, point. And by the way, just while you mentioned that, Scott, about forgiveness, because I believe lots of people are suffering, you know, mentally, and because of this aspect that you cannot forgive. Even something happened to some of your loved ones during the political aspects, medical aspects. You know, we've been through a pandemic, you know, a huge pressure on people. And people hold on that sort of grudge.
You know, there's a fantastic resource that we have available.
And I was just going to mention that. Yo, you go ahead and say that.
We spoke last time we were together about the website, one of those websites that we've built, the Hope Bible Study Center. It's at www.biblestudy.com.au. Really easy to remember. You can just jump on Google, type in the word Bible study, and it will come up. And when you look there on the homepage, you'll see a number of tiles. And one of those tiles says forgiveness. And it says there, don't allow the brokenness, hurts, and pains of your past to control your future. Discover the power of forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and being forgiven by God. And if you click on that little tile, it will take you through to a whole series of like self-help guides. They're a study series that will take you through the experience of helping you to forgive others and helping you to realize the forgiveness and experience the forgiveness of God.
Yeah. And that program also, it's entitled Forgive to Live.
Forgive to Live. That's the one.
You know, everyone would like to live to the fullest.
Absolutely. And that's just it, right? When we fail to forgive, we carry through life this great burden. Well, let's move on there. So we've got this call to be merciful and forgiving. We've also, you know, another one is in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, because one of the other great divides that we see, you know, there's this massive divide in society today where you're constantly being pulled to one side or the other, whether that's over race, whether that's over gender, whether that's over sexual identity, whether that's over politics. There's these constant pulls that you have to be on one camp or the other. Which side do you choose to be? I love where the Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, reminding us that we all have the same Father. Just in the way that the Bible says that Adam was made in the image of God, we have all been descendants from Adam. We have all come from Adam.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what your race or from which part of the world you are from, we are all of the same family according to the Bible. There's another passage there where it says, Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. God doesn't care about, you know, from where in the world we come, but what God looks into the heart.
Yes, absolutely right, Scott. And, you know, God is the only one who can read our hearts. You know, he even said that, yeah, man can look at the face of man and may have some judgmental attitude, but God is the one who knows even what's going on in our heart, even the intentions and all that aspect. I think that's very, very important to understand this, because if we respect each other, if we'll experience that harmony, you know, among ourselves, and we'll be able to put aside some of the differences and live life. You know, God doesn't want to live us to live on this earth so miserable as we live. Amen. We think because it's a sinful world and we are in, you know, a sinful people, yeah, we have to live this life. No, God will love us to live a beautiful life. And that was his intention even with his children, with Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, slavery, Babylon, and so on and so forth, to give them peace and to give them, you know, a good life. But unfortunately, we as humans, we take in our own hands our destiny. So many times we just stuffed it up.
Yeah, so very true. So we're continuing to answer this question. Is the biblical worldview still relevant today? And we're seeing there that the Bible is calling us to peace. The Bible is calling us to harmony. The Bible is calling us to this experience of forgiveness. The Bible calls us, you know, one of the big pressing issues in the world today, the thing that we're constantly hearing about is this question of damage to the climate or climate change or, you know, the climate disaster as some are suggesting. And I love there in the Bible, you know, even right back there in the very beginning, one of the first verses that we read only in chapter 2 of the Bible. It says, "And the Lord God took man," in chapter 2 and verse 15, "and he put him in the Garden of Eden and cultivated to cultivate it and to tend it." The Bible says there that God made us to be stewards of the earth.
Yes.
He gave us this role to have dominion over it and to care for it, to protect it. And, you know, then you jump right to the other opposite end of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, and it says there in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18, "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." So we see that on one end, the Bible says that God gives us, at the very beginning, he gives us dominion over the earth and mm-hmm. calls us to be stewards of the earth. And then at the end of it all, it says that those who destroy the earth, that God will come and that they will reap the consequences of their actions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So many of the challenges, the things that we see, the question of morality, this ever-changing question of morality, you know, like I said at the start, is the things that were once said to be right, 20 years ago, today the mainstream would tell us that some of the things that we once knew to be right today are wrong, and we need to be sorry, or we need to, you know, rethink some of these things. And while it's great to always question, the challenge that we're faced with society today is, what is the foundation of morality? And unless we have a solid foundation, an unchanging foundation, then it will just continue to be forever changing. You know, if you were America is a classic example. You go and look at the policies and the things that were brought into place under the last administration, and then the way that there's been this total shift, and it's like what they did was wrong and what we're doing is right. And no doubt once that changes again, it'll go back to no, what they did was wrong and what we're doing is right.
Yeah.
Because there is no foundation. Mm. But when we make the Bible our foundation, we will not be moved. I love where the Bible talks about the journey of building a house. And if your house is built upon the rock.
Yeah. And interesting that, for a quite good period of time when America really lived, or Americans, or even Australians, you know, after that dictum, you know, like, "In God we trust."
Yeah.
You know, it's on the dollar there, but I don't know how real that is in the life of of the citizens of the United States and Australia and many other countries. You're right, actually, when we allow God to govern in our life, will have a different approach. And we could be example, as it was. America was one of the greatest democracy of this world. Why? Because they have some values based on those principles.
Yeah. So what I want us to probably, because we've only got a short while left, we've probably got 5 minutes left, right? A question that I have for us is, what about you personally? When you think through your own life, I mean, I know for you, you haven't always been a Christian, is that right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So you come from a place of, I guess, being guided by your own desires, mm-hmm. by you know, the things that you were surrounded by. And then you came to a place where you allowed the Bible to be, you know, as that verse there says in the book of Psalms, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Mm.
You allowed the Bible to become a light unto your path. And what kind of an impact did that have on you in your life?
Mm. Yeah, very good question. Well, Scott, just very briefly, you know, we can share our stories here, but it will take a long time. But very briefly, in my case, you know, I was in the show business. I thought that's what I would like to do for the rest of my life. I was partying happy every day, even during a communist time in Romania where I grew up. But when I wake up after all those great times, you know, I still have an empty, soul, you know, and something was a void in my life.
Because we were made in the image.
Yes.
Of God.
And you know what? And that thing was, first of all, it started to ask questions like, what this life is, or what it means, what it means. It means to live 80, 90, 70, 80, 90 years old and then die, and that's it. What's the meaning of life? That was one of the things which start to trouble me, you know, and I start to ask questions, start to search around and come across the Bible and the Word of God and, you know, the teachings and lots of great people, faithful believers in the Word of God they were a guide also for me and helped me to understand some of these things. And then when I accepted the relevance of the Bible in my life, I can tell you, myself, I haven't done a university or something like that, but I believe personally that actually through know God or learning from God, knowing the Bible, I believe I achieved more than to have some very high education, which back then in the communist country was very hard to do, particularly if you believe in God. Mm. You know, you'll be restricted.
And what is interesting is that when you allowed the Word of God to be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path, it's brought you into this straight and narrow path.
Mm.
And although you and I, we've both come from totally different worlds. I mean, my story is one totally different. I was in and out of the world. I was, you know, in clubs and even in prison.
Mm.
And yet when we allow the Word of God to transform us, we both have found ourselves on this same path.
Yes.
And now we have these, you know, I mean, you and I, brother, I'm sure we could agree that there's so much about our life that is now the same.
Yes.
Why? Because we found that sure foundation. We found that anchor. We found that absolute truth.
We're
allowing
true.
God to recreate us back into the image that He originally created us to be.
Oh, very good point. I like that.
I want us to just finish up as, you know, we've only got just a few minutes left. And perhaps for some of those who are listening, whether you're driving in the car today or whether you're sitting at home, maybe you're at work, finishing up for the day, finishing up for the week, and you've been listening and you sense that heaviness of heart as you look at the world around you, the ever-changing, the uncertainty that's taking place in the world. Maybe you've been searching for truth, for hope, for a firm foundation. I want you to know that the Bible isn't just a relic of the past. It is God's living word. It is His voice speaking into your life right now.
Mm.
1 Thessalonians 2:13, a final verse as we finish up. The Bible says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of mere men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which also is at work in you who believe."
Mm.
The Word of God is not just some relic of the past, but it is quick and powerful. It is life transforming. It has been your experience, brother, and it has been mine, that when we have allowed the Word of God to be a lamp unto our feet and to a light unto our path, that it has guided us in this similar direction where Jesus is continually transforming us back into His likeness.
Beautiful.
If you are tired of the empty promises, the shifting opinions, I want to challenge you, turn to the Word of God. Just open it up. Open your Bible. Start with the book of John. One of my favorite characters of all of the Bible is the Apostle John.
Mm.
The Bible, you know, describes this guy, John, as the disciple who Jesus loved. And I love there, you know, you get this imagery of the closeness of John where he's resting his head on the very bosom of Jesus. Mm. It's like he was very, very close, very dear friends with Jesus. And John gives us an insight, a glimpse of God that we don't really see anywhere else in the Bible. Start with the book of John and ask God to speak to you. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 32 that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It will take you on that journey of forgiveness, of finding peace in your heart, of finding joy in your life. God loves you and He made you for a relationship with Him. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, He is ready to receive you. But are you willing to trust Him? Are you willing to put your trust today in God and in His Word? Begin applying His Word to your life and see what it can do. Because I can assure you it will transform your life the same way it has transformed Nick's life and the same way that it has transformed mine. That together we will journey on that sure, narrow path, waiting for the soon coming of Jesus.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Scott, thank you so much. Yeah, the time is going very fast. But would you be able to pray with us?
Yeah, let's have a prayer for us, for those who are listening with us. Lord, we want to pray for each of those, Lord, who are listening, for those who are searching for hope, for those who are searching for meaning, for purpose, Lord, that they may find You. Father, may Your Word come alive in their hearts. Lord, may You lead them to truth, lead them to freedom. The freedom that comes, Lord, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and are unburdened from the bitterness, from the hatred, from the burdens of life, Lord. Lord, we ask that You will give them joy in their hearts and that you will give them that abundance of life that Jesus promised when he said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Please bless them. Please draw them close. Please lead them through their life. May your word be a lamp unto their feet
Amen. And
a light unto their path is a prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Scott, for the beautiful prayer and for the, what you shared with us today. My dear friend listening today, I don't want you to miss the offer which we have for today. And that's a wonderful book. Can we still believe the Bible? Does it really matter? This is a book by Brian W. Bowell. And you just need to send us a text message with the code SA303. SA stands for South Australia 303. Send that message to 0488 808 11, and our good friend the bot will take you through. Don't miss this this wonderful book. Also, I would like to invite you to join us again next time, because we are going to talk about if God is a loving and all powerful, why doesn't he fix the problem of pain, which so many people are suffering. Why pain? Why pain and suffering? That's the question we'll ask the first time next week. Until then, may God richly bless you and keep you into the journey, on the journey into his footsteps. And don't forget again to claim the offer which we have for today. Can we still believe the Bible? Does it really matter? Send a text message with the code SA303 to us. I'm leaving you now with a beautiful song, and may God bless you all. Give me the Bible. We ask the question, is the Bible still relevant today? Let's listen to this song, and may God bless you all.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Hi, my name is Pastor Matt Hunter from the Birdwood Adventist Church. This year, we are starting an exciting new initiative. On February the 8th and the second Saturday of each month, at 12 noon, we'll be having a free community lunch at the Birdwood Institute building, which is located at 44 Shannon Street in Birdwood. This will be followed at 1 p.m. by a presentation on topics of how Christianity relates to our world today. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask your questions of the presenter. The program will finish by 2:30 p.m. The first presentation is being presented by myself, Pastor Matt Hunter, and is titled, Is the Bible a Reliable Historical Document? We would love to invite you to come and join us for this exciting program.
Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer alone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Thank you. my steps and lighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp for safety or the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day. In eternal day. In eternal day.
Hi, my name is Pastor Matt Hunter from the Birdwood Adventist Church. This year, we are starting an exciting new initiative. On February the 8th and the second Saturday of each month, at 12 noon, we'll be having a free community lunch at the Birdwood Institute building, which is located at 44 Shannon Street in Birdwood. This will be followed at 1 p.m. by a presentation on topics of how Christianity relates to our world today. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask your questions of the presenter. The program will finish by 2:30 p.m. The first presentation is being presented by myself, Pastor Matt Hunter, and is titled, Is the Bible a Reliable Historical Document? We would love to invite you to come and join us for this exciting program.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Hi, my name is Pastor Matt Hunter from the Birdwood Adventist Church. This year, we are starting an exciting new initiative. The second Saturday of each month, at 12 noon, we'll be having a free community lunch at the Birdwood Institute building, which is located at 44 Shannon Street in Birdwood. This will be followed at 1 p.m. by a presentation on topics of how Christianity relates to our world today. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask your questions of the presenter. The program will finish by 2:30 p.m. The first presentation is being presented by myself, Pastor Matt Hunter, and is titled, Is the Bible a Reliable Historical Document? We would love to invite you to come and join us for this exciting program.